Yes, and welcome back to the official Get a Kick AFL podcast. I'm Ash Williams, and as always, I'm joined by David Zeta from AFL Tonight. How are you, Dave?
Ash, it's good to see you for the second time in 3 days or so.
The honour is all mine, David, and we should give our flowers to your mum, who does a wonderful job every year for the My Room gala night, raising money for very sick kids with cancer. And, mate, it was a roaring success.
Yeah, so she raised everyone raised just over $1.8 million, which is an incredible achievement. It was a great night at the Crown Palladium, 1,200 people there, whatever it was, and it was quite packed. You were one of them, as was I. We were on the same table together. A nice night. Will Day came along. Massimo D'Ambrosio, you were in your element as a Hawthorn supporter. You were loving life, and it was great to see you happy.
Thanks, Dave. Oh, well, you were loving life too, mate, sitting next to your best friends, Laura Kane and Kate from the AFL.
Kate Hutchison.
So we were all very, very happy. Massimo's actually followed me on Instagram, so we're going along swimmingly.
Jeez, you're going great. No, he's a great kid. He was an elite guy to chat to. He was just very, very passionate about the charity, and it was great to see. Now, there was one. So Ash arrived about, I'm going to say, an hour late to the event. So now I do admit the invite came the day before. It was very late for Ash. And so Ash in turn was also late to the event. But it was less about his tardiness and more about the lack of his fashion. Sure. Can you explain how you arrived at this function? Because you were wearing a shirt that had no buttons and yet was somehow still being held together despite empty buttonholes. Can you please just explain what you did?
So, mate, my tuxedo is in the Gold Coast, right? I think you said to me during the week, are you coming to the My Room Gala? I said, I'm not invited at the moment.
Yeah.
So I left my tuxedo in the Gold Coast. And, of course, you know, lucky enough to get an invite last minute off the sub bench.
Yeah.
Took the vest off, and I thought I had a makeshift tuxedo, you know, grabbing all the things that would make up a tuxedo from my mum's, including all of my brother's old gear. Right. So I was wearing his bow tie, his shoes, you know, you can do the rest. Yeah. But I had a Calibre shirt that comes with its own buttons, and I thought I had the buttons in a pouch. And when I went to empty said pouch, there were no buttons. So I was just about to message you saying, mate, I'm not coming. And then mum said, come here, I'll safety pin your shirt together. So she safety pinned the whole shirt. And yeah, I was about 30 minutes late.
An hour.
And it looked pretty good.
Yeah, you actually couldn't tell unless you looked closely. So I ended up telling everyone, look at Ash's shirt. It's got the buttons aren't done. And then everyone was like, oh my God, yeah, true, it's not. But my follow-up question to that, Ash, is what sort of brand is that? You said Calibre, is it?
Mm.
So why is it a DIY shirt assembly? What other brand says do your own shirt buttons, put them in the... I don't understand this, the concept, because it sounds unbelievably stupid.
It's a design feature.
A design feature that you don't have everything you need. You have to put it together yourself.
Well, you know how usually you have cufflinks and you put your own cufflinks in?
Yeah.
It's the same principle. It's basically a cufflink button. And when it's done up and it's all hunky-dory, it looks bloody good. But let me tell you, it's a lot of work. And
So basically it's like, so a tuxedo or a suit is a meal. You get the meal, it's ready to go. Let's do it. But you're getting like HelloFresh version of a suit. Like you need to cook it yourself. I don't understand the concept of this. It seems unbelievably stupid from a business point of view from Calibre.
Well, you've got to try the shirt on. I should say that it looks really good, but it's not Calibre's finest work. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Every time I put the shirt on, I think this is the last time. So I'll be looking for a new shirt and probably a new sponsor too. Shout out to Calibre.
Yeah.
But let's get to the AFL, Davey.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm outside Cheeky Monkey right now on location in Richmond, and I was here on Sunday, and I just want to give you a live report of who I saw having coffee. I saw
just for the people out there, it's the Cheeky Monkey, of course, is the hub of the AFL. It is virtually where every person in the AFL goes to have their coffee, it would appear.
Yes. Now, I've actually forgotten the guy who I saw. No, but it was Bobby Hill. And Bobby Hill was there with, is it McCaffrey? Who's the guy who might be coming in with the
Bo
big...
McCreary.
Bo McCreary.
McCreary, not McQueary. Bo McCreary.
Well, I have a McQueary for him, mate.
he's been cleared. He's playing this week.
Yeah, well, I know he's cleared, mate, because he looked pretty happy with himself with his Oat Flat White there on Sunday.
Oat Flat White.
And... I wouldn't be surprised if Bobby Hill plays at some stage in the finals. That's you heard this first
from
here.
From what you saw at Cheeky Monkey.
Yes, mate.
Right.
He looked pretty happy. He
great.
Looked pretty well. Look, I know
think,
that.
I think it's less about his happiness levels and more about the amount of training he's missed. But that's good.
Well, look, mate. I know that if I do give you
here we go
a story that you won't run with it. So look, at least it's we're in a safe house here.
Jeez, isn't Bucks just closing in on the? It's becoming farcical how much it looks like it's Bucks.
Can you do a retrospective story? Well, here, I've got something for you.
Okay,
you should do a story on when you should have gone with a story and you didn't. And you can actually write a story about how you were gun shy with the Bontempelli and that you were given this story, and that maybe the pill in the food is that maybe you need to be a bit more ruthless with your reporting. Because you're almost the opposite of someone like Sam McClure. You pull most of your punches.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And journalists don't pull any punches because they're all dogs. I think you need to get a bit more dog in you if you're going to be a fighter in this industry.
Yeah, it's probably a deeper conversation, Ash. I just feel like the respect externally, maybe I need to prioritize the respect internally as opposed to the respect externally.
Are you too close to a lot of these, players and
No,
personalities?
I'd say a lot of the journos are closer because they sort of their lives, they live, they, you know, they're in much closer proximity to them more regularly than I would be, I would imagine, and the managers and all that sort of stuff. So who knows, Ash, maybe it's something to work on in the off season or over the next few weeks. But the Bucks stuff is interesting because as I said to you, and we're not going to have the same discussion again, but I wasn't confident enough in it to go with it because the people I spoke to were so categoric that it was incorrect. And I don't know the person who told you. So without knowing them, I can't really, it'd just be a leap of faith to go against people who I would trust over someone who I don't really know. I don't know who that person is. But clearly the mail was good. Now, despite what people would say, I mean, it is quite staggering that was happening. And then the week later, Simon Goodman got sacked and Nathan Buckley appears to be I wouldn't even say he's $1.01 at this point. It's actually ridiculous how much people have cast him as it's almost like it's just a process just to look like a process.
Well, what did I say to you? And I said that Nathan Buckley has been offered the job. It's now in his hands whether he wants to do it. And that was, I think we're coming up to 4 weeks ago now. Tom Morris reported the same thing this morning on SEN.
What did he report?
That it's Nathan Buckley's if he wants it.
Yeah.
They're just waiting on Buckley. Yeah, yeah, I know. But like, this is exactly what I said to you 4 weeks ago. So I think there is a story, a retrospective story by you, just like telling the story of a journalist. Sometimes you dot your I's and cross your T's too much.
Right.
Because it's uncanny. And you can name me or not name me, you just name a source. It's
Well,
up to
it's
you.
Pretty obviously the source is because you went on Instagram after telling me saying, I've just spoken to David Zeta and given him a very big scoop. Let's see if he runs with
Yeah,
it.
it
Just
was on our Get a
unbelievable,
Kick.
unbelievable source etiquette just to go straight to Instagram and say, I've just spoken to this journalist. Let's see if they run
Yeah.
with the story.
Well, we have a Get a Kick podcast Instagram, and we have fuck all followers on it. So I don't think many people would have seen it, but
True.
I just think it's uncanny how, it's all played out over the last 4 weeks. It's almost like, what's that?
And yet you're trained not to
Inception.
believe in coincidences as a journalist. So I find it hard to believe that there wasn't at least some discussion with Nathan Buckley about the job before, whether formal or informal. I would imagine it was more of an informal conversation that is then, just sown the seed.
Now, remember my source. Now, I'm pretty sure I told you this. Had lunch with Nathan Buckley the day I told you, right?
Right, you didn't tell me that, no.
No, so he is not only in a sanctum at Demonland, but he had just come from a lunch with Buckley.
Right. Well, I mean, that would have been great information for you to tell me at the time, because you didn't tell me that.
Well, mate, I didn't want to bury the lead. I called you. I said, Goodwin's gone. Buckley's been offered the job. It's in his hands.
Yeah, but
And you're like,
you have the opening line in the story. The story is this: Nathan Buckley's been offered the job, and then you have the paragraphs underneath that flesh it out. I was given no flesh. I was given a
well, mate,
fleshless corpse.
well, you still, no, you had not a corpse. You had a live body. That was a live story. And you thought it was a corpse. And you didn't keep this thing alive. I also didn't want to give you too many tangents to the source, because then that would give Nathan Buckley would know who told me.
Yeah, right.
He only had lunch with one person that day. It would be process of elimination.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just think for my background, it would have been handy to know. But anyway, that's completely fine. We've all got room to improve, don't we, Ash?
Well, look, I just don't think you should throw the baby out with the bathwater, and I think you can still salvage a story because it's still very relevant, and the story hasn't changed in 4 weeks. I just think there's something in it, and I know you're busy preparing for AFL tonight's 1,000th episode
No,
tonight, I
we've
think.
done 1,500 actually over the journey.
1,500.
This
Well, mate.
show, I'll be honest, this show doesn't get the now I don't we don't need to get plaudits, but for it's effectively four people full time on this program, two reporters, Simon Conway the producer, and Tony Escott the cameraman. And it produces 30 minutes. Just under 30 minutes of AFL content a night, each night of the week, like weeknights. Like it's a pretty big effort when you consider that sports bulletins that are manned by a lot of people, free-to-air networks, they have a sports segment that runs about 6 minutes or so. It's quite Herculean of the people here, not myself, the people around me, to put together the show that they have for so long. So it needs a bit more love, I think, AFL tonight.
Well, you are saying yourself, you've
No,
just
I'm
said in
not.
the
No,
same
no, no.
breath. No, hang on. You've just said there's only four people, and then you've said it's Herculean.
No,
So
but like
there's
from
a
those people, I know.
25% chance of Herculean.
I wouldn't say that I'm at 25% of that number. The other three are very well. Drew's not at the moment because he's just taken the nice bit of leave to himself. I think he's extended it by a week, which is nice. So he won't come back till prelim week.
Is he with child?
Well, I don't know if he want it s said what the I'll say on here, and then we can I'll ask him
Well,
afterwards.
no,
But
don't. No, don't, because I can't be bothered editing this.
okay, all right,
So, anyway, look, whether he is or he isn't, we wish Drew well, and congrats on 1,500 episodes of AFL tonight. It is Herculean, as quoted by David Zeta. Now, mate, we should really get to some AFL, some actual
Well,
stories that are brewing.
yeah. Do you want to? Well, the Charlie Curnow one is the one that everyone's talking about at the moment. When a player, which has been reported now by multiple people, when a player is willing to take a pay cut to leave your club, is that when it's like, okay, we're done? If they're willing to get paid less to go somewhere else, on a pre-existing deal and they want to get out of it and they're willing to take less money, surely at that point you're like, well, he definitely doesn't want to be here. Let's just let this, this can't, this is just not, let's just trade him for everything we can and get what we can back for someone who clearly is checked out.
I think so. And I don't know. I don't know what's going on down there at Carlton and Essendon, if you believe this Zach Merritt story, which I think there is a thread of truth in that. I mean, you look at Sam Draper and is it Laverty? Who's the other one who wants to go?
Oh, Jordan Ridley.
Jordan Ridley. I mean, there's something that stinks down there at the hangar. So
yeah, it's not just it's not just the airplane fumes. There's something else down there.
Yeah, so I don't know. If I was Carlton, I'd say see you later, Kerno, and get what you can. He's one of the most overrated players in the comp. He is.
Right. What about him?
He is.
Well, I think he won two Colemans and he's had a poor year.
He never shows up when you need him.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, he doesn't.
Well, yeah, his record in finals isn't very flattering. I'll give you that. So if he's
even big matches. Big home and away matches, nowhere. So I think the Blues need to just do what they can and start again as best they can. I don't know. I still don't think Michael Voss is the guy to lead that club. So
it's a bit late now. They've replaced everyone around him, so it's a bit late. They're going to have to deal with him next year. Well, maybe Charlie Kerner doesn't think that either. If he wants to go, he's obviously not happy with the coach. They've changed everything else around him and the coach is still there. So if he wants to go, then you would suggest that there's something that's amiss.
Yeah, well, they're saying that there's a bit of a rift there between Charlie and Vossi, but I don't know. I mean,
they seem like very different operators, Charlie and Vossi.
Yeah, look, you throw in TDK. I know they're going for money and Silvani. There's a fair few people who want to get out of Icon Park. So
well, TDK, yeah, for me was different because of how much he was getting.
Yeah,
it's just ridiculous.
Sure.
But Silvani probably wasn't getting, I mean, he's probably getting more money where he goes. But the Kerno one, willing to take a pay cut to leave, that's sort of red alert at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Going from just quickly professional football to legends football. Dave Hughes, of course.
Yeah,
he's been in the news, and I've been texting old Hughesy. He's still in the wars.
Is he in the hospital or is he out now?
He's out now. He's at home, but I'm going to go visit him. Maybe tomorrow or Thursday. Probably tomorrow.
Okay.
But yeah, he's looking for people to have coffee with, and I've known Hughesy almost 20 years, and he's never asked me for a coffee ever. So,
Something's
he's
up.
Obviously something's. He's not well. So
he had a whiff of Petrarca about it. The amount of sort of just how quickly it all deteriorated, and then went to emergency, and in he goes. Like it was very for just an on-field incident. It looked bad at the time, but it just progressively got worse. That was brutal.
Yeah, and I don't think the bump from Mitch Robinson and Dan Gorringe helped. Did you see much of I didn't see it, by the way, but someone messaged me saying that Dan Gorringe's behaviour after the match was flog-worthy. Did you see anything?
No, I was at the AFL, or the All-Australian Awards, because that was on at the same time. So I was focused on that.
How was that?
It was a really good night. It's only one break for the whole program, I think, if I recall. So certainly different to what the Brownlow would be with about 600 breaks. And it's a lengthy night, but they got through a lot of the stuff quickly, and they spoke to every player. That was a lot of content to fit in, and they did. And it was a good night. Bailey Smith spoke about his mental health battles, I think. That was pretty revealing on stage. Jeremy Cameron was the captain for some reason. He couldn't believe it as much as we couldn't believe it. But it was a good night.
Just on that.
Yeah.
Are people making too much of the fact that Jeremy Cameron is the captain of this hypothetical team?
Yeah, maybe. Because it's not a real team, is it? Like, it's actually not real.
No.
So it doesn't really matter who you make captain or who you do anything with, really. But I think it's meant to represent a team that goes out in the park, as far as I'm aware. And there were five captains, actual captains there, four. They did it with Buddy Franklin as like a legacy thing, and yeah, so they've done it before.
I actually think they should be pulling from captains, because if they're pulling from positions and they're pulling from the season, you want to choose someone who's been a great captain for the season, and Jeremy Cameron hasn't been a captain. So
he admitted that himself. Never captained anything in his life, he said.
So logically, it doesn't stack up, but again, who really cares? But
pretty good.
I mean, if you're going to be doing that, go and play Nick Daicos at fullback. It just doesn't really matter.
Yeah, right. Anyway, to answer your question, I didn't see the legends. I wasn't hooked into that, whatever was going on with the legends, other than the fact that Husey was in quite a bad way afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Now, mate, the finals, it's almost upon us.
Yes.
Let's just do a quick little speed round of who we think's going to win. I think the match of the round, and tell me if you disagree, has got to be Collingwood Adelaide.
Yeah, that's going to be. Well, I think the two best teams playing would be Geelong Brisbane, but Adelaide Collingwood's got the most sort of spice in it, I would imagine.
Oh, something's going to happen. So Collingwood, Craig Kelly was on the radio yesterday saying that they are chartering 4 or 5 buses for the fans to leave. I'm thinking things are going to get feral at Adelaide Park.
Oval.
Or is it football? Adelaide Oval Football Park. Something will happen. I don't know what, but it's going to get ugly over there.
Okay. And what's the result going to be, do you think? You sort of have to back the Crows in, don't you, given... I mean, Collingwood should have won by a fair bit last time they played. The amount of inside 50s they had was ridiculous to lose that game.
Look.
And the Crows haven't got Rankin, of course, who's in Europe. Well, mate, I don't know. He might be back now. I don't know.
I'm going to go Collingwood, just because all the pressure is on Adelaide. They gave up over 100 points at Marvel against North Melbourne in their last match. I know it was a tumultuous week for them, but Collingwood are playing with house money. Like, sure, there's pressure on them. They're the biggest team in the comp, but they're underdogs. And, yeah, I wonder if they can bring Mason Cox in, who loves a final, or someone to clunk some of those inside 50s. Maybe they can do some damage. But, yeah, far out. It's going to be juicy either way. Who do you think wins?
Yeah, I mean, I have to go with Adelaide, given the fact that they just haven't really given me any reason to doubt them yet. So I have to go with the Crows, even without Rankin. I just think they're stealing themselves for a big September campaign. That's going to be a bloody good game. I'm excited for it. Geelong, Brisbane on Friday night at the G, of course, not at GMHBA, just the MCG for the Cats. There'll be about 80,000 there. It'll be a great atmosphere, I would imagine. That's going to be... Jeez, that's a bloody tough one to tip, because the Lions have done well. I think they've beaten the Cats the last 3 times they've played. But the Cats are just cruising along. They know what they're doing.
I'm going with the Lions.
Okay.
Well, they beat them by 41 points, I think, at GMHBA last time they played, which was kind of the turnaround point of their season. I'm assuming Lachie Neale plays.
He'll come back in. Jared Berry as well.
Yeah, look, whoever wins this is the flag favourite.
Mm.
So it's kind of a toss of a coin, but I just think the Lions have the edge. What do you think?
Yeah, the Lions have played well against Geelong recently, as you mentioned, especially that GMHBA game. I think they've had the Cats measure recently. So that prelim last year would be haunting the Cats, though. So they're certainly going to have a bit of fire in the belly. I'll go Brisbane just because they're the champs, and I think they've still got another gear that they can go to that they haven't yet hit, and Lachie Neale coming back in is significant. So I'm going with them. Saturday afternoon at NG Stadium, the Giants up against the Hawks.
Yeah, I can't wait for this. I'm going with the Hawks to break their streak of 0 wins and 8 losses at NG. So... I had a bit of a chat to Massimo D'Ambrosio.
Yep.
He's very confident. He said that the Hawks boys didn't care who they played, whether it was the Giants or Freo, and they're feeling good. They head up to NG Stadium on Friday morning and get ready for the game. But it's going to be close.
Yeah. Well, the Giants could have four changes or so for this game. Got Hogan, Daniels. I know Buckley's up against it to get there in time, but they've certainly got a fair few wins. Josh Kelly, Jake Stringer. I mean, it's just really a matter of how they all perform, how fit they are. I think the Hawks, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was Massimo's confidence, but I've got a good feeling about them. I feel like they might just do some damage in September. The Giants were my premiership tip preseason. I just think they're too flaky. So unless they can address that and just put it all together in the finals. If the Giants win this, though, I'm very bullish on them going a long way. But at the moment, I'll go for Hawthorn.
Speaking of flaky, Freo versus the Suns.
Flaky, right, okay.
Well, they are. The Freo are the they're just unpredictable. Like,
but their record against the top eight sides is virtually as good as anyone in the comp.
Yeah, but let's remember what Brisbane did to them, 3 weeks ago. They didn't even show up. So I think Freo, just because the Suns, I feel like they will be glass half full, making their first final already. And let's remember, too, that Freo beat the Suns at People First Stadium not long ago. So, Dockers for me. You?
Yeah, Freo for me, too. Now, that's probably the one I'm most confident in. The Suns will get there eventually. I just don't know if this is the year, but happy to be proven wrong. I'm sure Dimmer will certainly be up and about and let us know if we've been proven wrong.
Well, one thing about Freo is you can never really predict whether they're going to win or lose. So... No, I'm serious. Like, they're the team I just never know what is going to happen.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't want to go out to the Suns in their first ever final series at Optus Stadium, Nat Fyfe's last game at Optus Stadium, regardless of the result. It's a big, big night. And you think they're up for it.
Well, they could easily lose. That's all I'm saying. But, okay. Well, Davey, look, good luck with AFL tonight.
Thanks, mate.
Is there anything, interesting on the show tonight?
Always, yeah. There'll be we'll do a cross to someone who's on the midweek tackle. So I forget who it would be tonight, but we'll certainly have some discussions about lots of things, mate. It'll be a great night.
It sounds riveting. A cross to the midweek tackle.
Well, in terms of the live cross element, but we'll have plenty on there to sink your teeth into. Every team. If you're a fan of any team in the comp, the chances are they're going to be covered on AFL tonight. You can't say that about most other networks. So we're very proud of the product we produce, Ash.
But I must say that I enjoy AFL tonight more than AFL 360. So,
oh, that's very kind.
Yeah. There's a compliment in there somewhere.
Certainly a bit less budget.
Well, what I like about AFL tonight is it's just matter of fact. Here it is.
Yeah.
Here's what's going on.
This is it. No opinion.
Yeah, I like it. No, I like it.
Just, this is the news. Here it is. Yeah. You make up your mind and let the other shows. There's certainly no shortage of shows with opinions. So we try and be a bit more, unless it's a guest, we try and be a bit more, matter of fact.
Yeah. Yeah. The best show on Fox Footy is still First Crack. But I do miss Hutto hosting. I thought that they had a wonderful chemistry. But anyway. That's the buy and bite. David, enjoy your Tuesday. We're 2 days away from finals starting. By the way, who's your tip for the flag?
I'll stick with Brisbane.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Well, I'm not sick with. I tipped the Giants at the start of the year, but I'll go with Brisbane.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're both going for the Lions. That is the Get a Kick podcast. Feel free to throw us a question on our Instagram. We'll talk to you next week.